Prophesied to you that 2004, been prophesied to you that this is your year of breakthrough, and you have made strategies to break through, and then God watching it just sends a word and says, no, you're not going to do it like that. Let me tell you what, a natural man's heart will faint. Are you getting my point? And that's what was happening here. So Jesus told them, don't worry, don't be afraid that you are going to follow the strategies that I'm giving you. He said, because this is the method by which God will bring you to the realm of abundance. He said, listen, he said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So he now gave them the next line. Sell all your possessions. He said, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. That is what we are saying, that what the Lord is saying you should do here is very unreasonable. Let me explain this again. They say, invest $1 million in business. He said, no, I'm going to give $500,000 out of the $1 million I have to charity. Meanwhile, MTN says, if you don't deposit $1 million, we're not giving you cards. He said, look, that is treasure on the earth. You know, let me tell you something about faith, about doubt. Let me go by it again. I think we've discussed it before. Doubt is the real, tangible, reasonable reason why you would not obey the word of God. That's all. Are you getting my point? That is, somebody, like we've been saying, he said, out of this $1 million, and I'm giving $500,000 to charity. Somebody tells you, listen, that is why you will never start out in this business. And it gives you a history. Look, this guy almost broke through last year, but they said he needed 750,000. All he could get was 600,000. 150,000 naira, you can see he has gone back to take a job of 5,000 naira a month. I mean, projections. You calculate physically speaking, and you will see that the step you're about to take will not work. That is what is called what? Doubt. Are you following me? Now, but if you take the words of Jesus literally, what he's saying is that I will do what the Lord said despite the fact that it doesn't appear reasonable. I hope I'm making sense of what I'm doing, what I'm saying. Are you following me? If you're following me, say amen. Okay, good. All right, so Jesus was telling them, don't be afraid. The reason being that things that you will do to succeed as a Christian will appear stupid. And listen, your Father that loves you will call you and explain to you why you are being unreasonable. Get my point? He doesn't mean, you know, I always say this. Most parents, they are telling you what they are persuaded will be of good to you. They are not trying to be wicked. But that doesn't change the fact that that is what they think will be good. That may not be what God thinks will be good. One man of God, in fact, Oswald Chambers said it, and another man of God I listened to some time ago said it also, that the people to be afraid of when you want to obey God are not your enemies. They are the people that love you and want good for you. They are the ones that will look at you and say, this thing you're about to do is the reason why you will fail. Your enemies will say, do it. Because they think you are going to fail. So, they are not a problem. It's those that love you, those that want your good, that will explain to you that, no, what you are doing is not reasonable. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. And that's why I said we're talking about faith and that treasure. Because to lay up treasure in heaven, you have to know, you have to be persuaded that what you are doing is the right thing. And the only way is because you have chosen, like we said, when we're talking about the second hearing or releasing the power that's in the word, it's because you have chosen to build your life upon what God has said. And that's it, period. Now, there's something I want to try and connect here. Anyway, let me just go on. Now, the sign of faith, you know, it's interesting. If you've heard me talk in the past, it will appear as if I'm saying that men don't have to give to receive. Do you understand my point? And what I said, if you listen to me well, is that men don't give because they want to receive. That it is wrong doctrine to tell men to give as a doctrine, as a principle, so that they can receive. That when people give, they are supposed to give in accordance with God's truth. Do you get my point? You see, when we're talking about treasure in heaven, for example, if you lay up treasure in heaven, Jesus never guaranteed that it will multiply, just said it will be well stored. Did you hear what I said? He didn't say, lay it up there and it shall multiply. He said, put it there and moth, you understand, things will not break in, moth will not destroy. But what causes your treasure that is laid up in heaven to multiply? That's the question. That is faith. That is faithfulness. Let me go back to what I'm saying. Like Jesus spoke about that widow, that God saw her heart. Do you get my point? And that she gave up all that she had because of her love for the temple of God. And he said she has given more than everybody else. Now, this is what I'm coming to. Remember the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Remember the story. How he went there and the widow, well, he told her, give me something to eat. The widow said, I don't have anything to give. He said, the little you have, make for me first and you make for your own, for yourself and for your child. And if you do that, listen, that cruse of oil will never fail. That, is it that cruse of wheat? No, that won't fail. Which one? That barrel of flour. Anyway, the flour will not fail, the oil will not fail until the day that God sends rain back into the land. Now, we use that to make it look as if what she did was to sow a seed and reap a harvest. Listen, what she did was to obey the word of the prophet. Listen, that was what she did. Are you getting my point? What she did was that she obeyed the word of the prophet. We don't even know the transaction that took on between her and the prophet between her and God before the prophet came. I'm trying to come to a point. Because, you see, we read it because the other day I was preaching in church and I told them that this book is a very brief book, the Bible. It's very small. In the work that I do, if you see my standard textbook with which I do diagnosis in pathology, each of the volumes is at least four times bigger than the Bible. And there are two volumes. And I consider the book small. Now, that book, just teaching about human diseases, that particular volume I've described as about eight times total, both volumes, the size of my Bible, we consider it a small book. That when we want details, we go for books that are sub-specialized. Yet, with everything that the Bible has to tell us, it's just this size. That's why you need revelation. God needs to open your eyes to see the things that is super condensed. You know, it's been zipped, it's in a condensed form. The software used, the spiritual software, is a very, very efficient type. One small bite of space stores a whole world full of information. You get my point. Now, I'm going to say something here. That you find out that, let me just give you a practical example. When God told the children of Israel to go and spy out the land before they went in at Kadesh Barnea, I thought it very ungodly a thing to do. Do you get what I'm going to say? In Numbers chapter 13. You know, they went to spy the land, and then I felt that, why would God tell them to go and spy the land? Well, but this man wasn't like God that I knew. Then one day I was in Deuteronomy, and Moses said it was because they insisted they wanted to see the land first. I said, that makes sense now. That it's not like God to say, go and check the land. What he does, he just tells you, I'm taking you somewhere. You just have to follow me. What faith, what God needs from everybody is what? Faith. Faith is the thing that God is demanding from you. In fact, let me digress. We learn a lot when I digress, I hope. All right. There was a lady once, it was my friend. We used to gist a lot. So, because we're very friendly, she used to tell me a lot of things that used to happen to her. So, she was a marriageable age that time, and there were a number of brothers and guys that were queuing up and trying to elbow themselves out of the way. So, I used to get updates on, what was the latest? Who's the guy? So, she used to ask my advice, say, look, there are these guys. There were three of them then, I remember. And now, this is why I'm telling this story. The guy she really liked, you know, had a feeling for. I thought him the least qualified to marry her. And I told her as much. He was my very good friend. I said, listen, don't marry that guy. If you want peace in your life, just don't dare it. Why? This is what I'm coming to. I just asked her off the cuff. I said, do you trust him to give your life direction? Can he lead you somewhere and you will follow? And then the thing she told me, I asked her permission to use it to preach because it was so beautiful. She said, bank it like this. Those are her words. She said, bank it like this. If he said, close your eyes, give me your hand, I want to show you something. He said, I'll give him my hand, but I'll keep one eye open. I said, please, you have said it with your own mouth. This guy is not marriable. Not for you. There's another of my friends. Let me just complete that line of gist. He's a minister. When he was going to marry the wife he married, I know both of them. Both of them are my friends. And there was one guy that had been marking the sister very tight. He had a lot of money, you know. worked in a very nice, and they worked for an oil company, you know, which is supposed to make a man very, very attractive. And used to come to their house when he comes, gives all the young ones gifts and all that. And of course, the parents liked him. Yeah, not as if they particularly liked him, but he looked like a good potential, you know what I'm trying to say. Now, this my guy came, a pioneering pastor somewhere in the north. Are you following me? And she agreed that, okay, I'm going to marry this guy, I'm going to marry the other guy. He said, when you're praying for the wedding, I think it was her father, they just called her and said, look, I'm not saying don't marry this guy, I know him, I like him. I'm just curious. What on earth is it that you saw in him? I'm just curious. I just want to know. So she told her father that having considered it, he's the only one that I can trust to guide me somewhere in life. Do you get my point? Now, I'm just contrasting these two things. That one said, this guy, he said, follow me. Close your eyes. Let me show you something. This is how she did. He said, I will close my eye, but leave one eye open small. Let me see where we are going. But this other lady said that, I'm marrying this guy because if he says, follow me this way, I have no fear. I'll go with him. Listen, these are the tips. I hope you, young ladies, you are writing some of these things down. I will not remember to tell you another time. Enjoy the way you're smiling. So I'm happy you have heard it. No, it's true. And those of you are pretending like you didn't hear what I said. I hope you all heard it. You can pretend all you like, though. This is the fact of life. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, so that, you see, I'm trying to say that's how God is. God is just like that. He demands faith from you, and he's worthy to be trusted. And he breaks his heart when he sees that people can't trust him. Do you get my point? Anytime Jesus will exclaim, he's always, oh, you of little faith. That is, you want to lay up treasure because you have more faith in the things that you can see. And I have warned you now that the things that you can see can't help you. In fact, if you lay up enough, you will die for its sake. Jesus said, that is why I'm warning you ahead of time. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Just put your faith in God and leave it there. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, so what God demands of people therefore is faith. So when I read there that God told the children of Israel to go and spy the land, I thought it very funny that it's not like him to tell people things like that. But if you read Deuteronomy, around the introduction part of Deuteronomy, Moses explained to them that why God allowed you is because you decided that you wanted to go and see the land. Are you following my point? Now, anyways, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I can't quickly find where it is now, but if you read it, you will find it. That they were the one that made, okay, verse 22. It said, then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the city that we shall enter. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, it was their idea. I'm going to say all this to bring out a point. That when we get to the widow of Zarephath, there was no discussion, there was no exposition on what transpired between her and the Lord before the prophet came. Do you get my point? But one thing we know is that God told Elijah that I prepared, you know, there was something I did so that she will receive you when you come. It's possible she had a dream. It's possible the Lord instructed her by an angel that I will send a prophet. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is that what caused her seed, as it were, to multiply was not that she sowed the seed per se. Was that what? She obeyed the word of the prophet. Because we have a story of another prophet and another widow. That was Elisha. Who the widow approached and said, my husband was one of the sons of the prophets, and he died. He was owing a lot of money, and my two sons have been held up as slaves because of the death of their father. And he said, what do you have in your house? Notice that she didn't sow the seed to anybody. She didn't give Elijah, okay, I have a cruse of oil, let's share it in two, half for the prophet. He didn't say that. What she did was, the prophet just said, what do you have? Okay, go to your neighbor's house, borrow plenty, keep it in your house, make sure you don't borrow a few. Now, that's another thing by which you understand the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return we'll talk about. Her dependence upon the word of the prophet would determine how much preparation she will have made for that oil. If you wanted to take a risk, maybe the guy is serious, she'll borrow one drum. But if it was somebody that knew that once God has sent his word by his prophet, it's do or die, she will fill her house until the house is completely full. They said, the children said, how do we get to that one? Don't worry, just put it there first. and then she will start pouring. That is, what she will receive will be dependent upon the degree of seriousness with which she takes the word of the prophet. Are you getting my point? That is, I'm explaining that when we are laying no treasure in the heaven, God did not promise that it will multiply. But what will cause it to multiply is your faithfulness. You know, because time is really going, I was hoping I'll be able to finish this today. But let me just do the much that I can. But you remember that when the Lord will be giving parables about the king that gave the talents to his subjects, they were always rewarded in accordance with how they used the one that he gave to them. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. I'm saying that what causes treasure in heaven to multiply, it's more than just the fact that somebody laid up treasure there. I'm coming to a point, I have not forgotten what I'm saying. Now, let's go back to the issue of that widow. No, let me finish with what I want to say, Luke chapter 12. So what the Lord was saying is that if you are going to succeed in the future and be powered by the Spirit of God in such a manner that there will be no risk of your failing, you have to trust what the Lord is saying and do what is foolish on the earth. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, the strategy is this. Sell of your possessions and give to charity. Now, we cannot go over everything we said last time. But we said that God has given to everybody. Let me emphasize this. God has given to everybody something with which to buy treasure in heaven. In fact, some of us, instead of using that thing to buy treasure in heaven, we insist on collecting treasure on the earth. Let me explain what I'm going to say. I was sharing with you last time that currently I write books, I write materials, but I have made up my mind before God, there is no copyright on them. That is, as you maybe you buy one of the books outside, they say, Pastor Banky, this book, I think it is too expensive for 150 naira, and there's no reason why we cannot do it like this and then manage to sell it for 20 naira. And you take a copy, go to the backyard press in your house and produce your own and say, it's by Pastor Banky, God is my witness, I will not be angry with you. In fact, I will particularly bless you, that may God protect you as you are distributing these books. Even if you are making a profit on them, please don't send me a portion of the profit. That, well, my conscience is smoting me that I'm making profit from your work. It is not my work. Are you getting my point? What I have understood is that the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I will not slow down the process. I hope you are following what I'm saying. So, if you know any pirate in Onitsha, tell them now that there is a book that the man is not worried about, that you just come and make your own copies and sell. He's not afraid. And I'm not angry with you. Get my point? In any form. The only thing I will be angry with is that if you edit it, say, okay, this man doesn't believe in tithing, it will make the book not sell. So remove that chapter on tithing. That one I will be angry. You take it the way it is and reproduce it the way it is. If you like sell 1 million copies, don't send me a naira. I don't want it. Now, I'm saying something because I have seen people who say that, look, ordinary tape, see, please don't dub this tape. If you want another copy, come and ask us. We have produced introduction for our tapes, and at the beginning, it is a please feel free to make copies of this tape for your friends. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because you see, it's faithfulness that God is rewarding. And let me tell you what, the things that are seen are not meant to the things that do appear. That is, the way by which God will cause prosperity to flow towards me, I don't know. But I will not try to merchandise the gospel he has given me to preach. Are you following the point I'm making? That is, God has given everybody something with which to buy treasure in heaven. But the mistake we make is that we insist a lot of times that this thing must produce treasure for me directly on the earth. But Jesus said no. And he said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is, if you will sell what you have so that you can endow somebody else's life with prosperity, don't worry, God will break forth upon you from his kingdom. Are you getting what I'm going to say? So he told when we're reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, he was explaining to them that if you have money on this earth, don't make the mistake of thinking that there is security in money. You remember we read that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, sorry. Now, he said that don't think that there is security in the physical cash that you have, but you have to learn to lay a good foundation for the future in the same way. And what was he telling them? Give to those that do not have. Are you getting what I'm saying? The principle of giving. It's not like I need 5 naira. I need 500 naira. Now, go to give 5 naira so that God can return back to me 100-fold. 100-fold is conditioned upon many factors that most of us do not even understand. 100-fold is conditioned upon the height of faithfulness. It is not that once I give, I get 100-fold back. Look, if God gives a word, 100-fold is only when, and 100-fold again is a spiritual principle. It's not that 10 naira here multiplied by 100 is 1,000. No, it's a spiritual principle. It's not, you cannot calculate it in physical terms. But if you are going to even get that spiritual 100-fold, it is calculated upon some qualities that are inside your heart. The motive with which you are doing the thing that you are doing. You see, let me tell you what God rewards people for. If we knew it, some of us would be afraid of some things that we are doing. Let me tell you, for example, if I tell you this, it will surprise you. You know, sometimes traffic lines up on one side. Do you get my point? And you see, very common with commercial bus drivers. They just they don't care that they are going to scatter the whole thing. And then they start moving on the wrong side, trying to break trying to jump the queue, per se. Now you have to understand that there are exigencies, I understand. That is, if you have a sick person in the car and you are running, even the law allows you to break through red light. That is, you have a bleeding woman that's about to deliver. He has an antepartum hemorrhage. You put on your full lights and be shouting, "Hey, boys, there's trouble," and you know, you drive recklessly. All right? But then, of course, you know, that's not the situation in most cases. It's just impatience. I've done it one or twice in the past. And then the thing is that when everybody is doing it, I feel like, okay, am I the fool? I'm the one standing in the line. I have learned not to move anymore. I said, God is watching me. Okay, it's iniquity. Let them do it. I won't do. I will queue up. Let them scatter it. The reason being that I know spiritually God is watching who scattered it. It must not be me that scattered it. God must not catch that I'm the one that scattered it. So I will queue up properly. So all the bosses, everybody will go in their way. Hey, join these people. You see, we'll obstruct the junction when we get up there. I will stay on my lane. You know, I bear that thing in my mind sometimes when I'm tempted to jump to the other side. He said, catch the little foxes for us. The little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, Kingsley is feeling very guilty. I can feel it from here. I can feel it. Ask him. He said, God, I am sorry. Don't worry. It was the time of darkness. Now you have been enlightened. Oh, preacher, you too. Okay, I saw you turn your head. No, ladies, really don't do it. All right? Okay. Now, I'm trying to explain that. You see, there are little things that God uses to judge and to determine what he will do for people. And I told you before, those who are succeeding usually don't know why they are succeeding. Most times, they don't know. The methods that people are using, are observing in their lives, and they are calling the principles of success, are just things that God taught them to do. Because that in their hearts they are successful people, and they will think that is the principle of success. It's not. It's success. The success they have, it's a blessing that God has put upon them. You can say that you have another uncle called Laban, and your name is Jacob, and the guy has been cheating you. All right, so you say that, all right, I'm going to cut poplar trees and put in front of the animals when they are mating to determine my wages. It will not work. Are you understand what I'm going to say? It worked with Jacob when he was dealing with his uncle Laban. Because of a revelation that God gave him, it is not a principle for genetic engineering. Are you following what I'm going to say? No matter how much poplar trees you cut, you will not alter the genes of bacteria, how much more sheep. But God endowed Jacob at that point to do something because the blessing of God had rested upon him. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. So we are saying, therefore, Paul was writing to Timothy and explaining to him to tell the people not to trust in what they can see, physical things, but that they should lay up a treasure of a good foundation by reason of what they are using the physical world that they have currently to do. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So that when they share what they have, they don't become poorer, but indeed they become richer. That is, when economy will turn down, in their own case, for one reason or the other, their own things will be getting better. Reason being that they have laid up their treasure in the spiritual. Let me tell you the truth as a fact. Every child of God, you see, after reading through the words of Jesus, he always emphasized giving to charity. In fact, it's now I realize Look, forget, I don't want you to think that preachers have, they have preached giving so that people, the fact is that it is still more blessed to give than to what? Receive. It's a fact. The Lord taught it. Jesus taught them directly. This is what, by the reason, way by which you will lay up treasure in heaven. And he knew that it might be a difficult thing for people to understand. So he warned them ahead of time. He said, fear not. The reason I'm teaching you this thing is because that is a method by which God will give you the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you something. I say it again and again. And I need to keep saying it because a lot of people don't understand it. When we say something is laid up in heaven, it does not mean you will get it when you died. It's just like if you have money in Switzerland, doesn't mean you will get the money when you go to Switzerland. Does that mean that? You can sit down and say, okay, boys, okay, let's, you just send, call them, all right? Transfer my $1 million back to Lagos. I want it in Lagos by tomorrow morning, and it will land there. I hope you are getting what I want to say. That is, you lay up your foundation in heaven, but that is what faith is. That is what makes you a believer, that you know that the things you cannot see, they are real. But what I want to say is this. You know, I said I want to talk about faith and that treasure. I want to explain something about why a lot of people don't lay up treasure. I was saying, the last thing I was saying, now let me just go back to that, is that as children of God, we have to understand that you have no excuse not to start laying up treasure in heaven. Are you getting what I want to say? I hope you are following the point I'm making. That is, you are never so poor that you can't give. Did you hear me? And let me, anyway, you know the story about the widow again. Let's go over that again. You know that Jesus said that this woman has given more than everybody else. Why? Because she gave out of her necessity, that is, out of her poverty. All she gave was all that she had. That what she gave was all that she had. And he said that that is more than those who give out of their abundance. Now, let me just say this. It is not God's perfect plan that you always give a widow's mite. God's plan is that you always superabound to all good works. That is, you have so much that doing good works will not be a problem. However, life is in phases. There is a phase where a time will come where what you will give will be all that you have. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's important we understand this. You see, I wanted to open to a particular portion of the scriptures, which will explain this thing beautifully. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He said, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. What he's saying here is that if you want conditions to be perfect before you begin to do what you know you should do, you will never do anything. Do you get the point I'm making? If you are waiting for conditions to be appropriate and everything to be right before you do what God has commanded you to do, you will never do anything. And let me go back to the issue of doubt. Doubt, I said, is every explanation you have for not obeying the word of God, no matter how beautiful they sound. That is, if God said, lay up treasure in heaven, and you feel like I don't have enough, that is what? Doubt. There was one thing one man of God said once, which I believe very, very much. He said those days he believed that he had to give offering every time he went to church. So when he doesn't have money, he'll go early and go and clean the chairs. Did you hear what I said? He said, since I don't have cash, so he'll go early and go and sweep the place. Bishop David Oyedepo, we all know him now. Alright? I said, no, he mustn't go to church without an offering. So he will go early and go and sweep. That God, this is what I have for today. Because he trekked to church anyway, you understand? So I just go trek back. So just trek in early and dust the chairs. What I'm saying is that God has given everybody what? Something with which to lay up treasure in heaven. Listen, I was discussing with a friend of mine, I want to do something together, and I was telling him that it's something that has to do with disseminating information. I said, there's so much ignorance around that the little information you give will be gladly received by people. In the same manner, God has done in such a way, well, the way it is currently is that there is so much need around that there is something you can do to be a blessing to people. Let me tell you something. It's important that people bless you. Please, because we don't have all the time to discuss all these things, I just recommend read that book, even if you don't borrow a copy, The Blessing. I explain some things in there. It's important that people bless you. If you go and read Job, Job explained that he was blessed abundantly, that the prayer of the one about to perish came upon him because of the good works that he did. Listen, when God was going to listen to Cornelius, what was the excuse God gave for answering Cornelius? He said his prayers and his alms has risen up to God as a memorial. I read this Ecclesiastes chapter 11 so that we understand that there is never an excuse that I don't have anything. If you really understand the principle of laying up treasure in heaven, even if that's the last thing you have, you look for an opportunity to bless somebody with it. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, let me, another thing I have to explain about this doubt thing when it comes to laying up treasure in heaven is that sometimes you feel like, what do I have? Do you understand? Like we were discussing earlier, you say that, of all the big things I know that these people require, maybe you want to go to an orphanage or you go to a ministry or something and you want to give them. And you feel like, how can I go all the way to an orphanage to go and give them 50 naira? Or maybe like we announce all the time that if you want to give an offering to support this work, go and see Kingsley or something. Say, how can I go and give Kingsley 20 naira that this is what I want to use to support? Say, no. Let me tell you something. That before God is not an excuse. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? You cannot tell God, I felt what I had was too small. Never. In fact, there's one scripture I want us to read, John chapter 6. Because, you see, we don't understand the power in the seed that God has given to us. What God rewards that causes things to multiply is what? Faithfulness. John chapter 6. I'll read, well, we all know the story. When the great multitude was following Jesus and he was doing many signs, and a time came, he said they should feed them. Verse 5. Jesus therefore lifting up his eyes and seeing such a great multitude, that a great multitude was coming up to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Then, jump to verse 9. That's Andrew said to him, verse 9, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Now, this is where I want you to get understand. In their own estimate, what they had was too small compared to what God wanted to do. That is, yes, these people will need up to 1 million naira, but all I have is 50 naira. What is this compared to the need that is there? But Jesus said that is not the problem. If the lad is willing to release the 5 loaves and 2 fish, have the people sit down. At the end of the day, well, we know the rest of the story. He distributed to everybody that was seated. Those who were standing, I guess, didn't get anything. Only are rushing with God, you don't get anything. Go and read it. He distributed only those that were what? Seated. Listen, all the running up and down is the reason why God's blessing has not arrived at your house yet. Stop leaving your house at 6 a.m. Look, you are not the devil. The running to and fro is not your assignment. Do you get my point? No, really. Anyway, he distributed to those who were seated. All right? And verse 12 said, and when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing be lost. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, what I want you to understand here is this. The thing that God did was not determined by what they had to start with. But they had to be willing to give what they had to start with and to sit down to receive God's multiplication of it. Are you getting the point I'm making? Because, you see, sometimes I'm going to tell a few stories just to illustrate some things. Sometimes God just deliberately gives a little seed like this into people's hands so that they will understand that he's not limited by their physical circumstances. Do you get my point? I'll tell a few stories to let you know that what you say is small compared to this great thing oftentimes is all that is needed. I'll tell the story and it will impress you, but there I heard it impressed me also. Yeah, there was one woman who was trying to, you know, make some money for her family, take care of her children and everything. And one rich man in her own opinion, the man had a big house and had very nice cars and looked like a rich man. But the rich also cry, you know that. Okay, even if you know before, after you watched that Mexican soap opera, you must have learned it then. Anyway, so the man allowed her to be frying akara in front of his house, and she was selling and making some money. He said one day, she suddenly had this impression that she should pack some akara and go and give the man. I heard the story from somewhere, I can't remember where. And she felt that, I can't wait. Big men like this, if they want it, the kitchen will be full of it, don't worry about that. So she continued her work, but the thing didn't leave her alone. True gist that happened in Nigeria. And that anyway, after the pressure was too much, she just packaged it in, went there, knocked, said, Ogade, no, don't worry, just tell Ogade, I just felt like just giving him the small present this morning. And he gave the man akara. And for information, everybody in that house were hungry that morning, there was no food in the whole house. And that was breakfast for that whole household that morning. He said, what is this among so much that we have a little? What can this do for such a big man? God said, what I reward is what? Faithfulness. Are you getting my point? That it's important that as people, we recognize the fact that God understands where you are coming from and he judges what you are giving according to what you have. Listen to me, I am not saying give and God will multiply it back at all. I am not promising you that in any form. I am just telling you that as a child of God, you have to understand that if you are going to have a great future, you have to be laying treasure up where? In heaven. That Paul said that is how you have the treasure of a good foundation for the future. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 8. I want to explain something from there. Let me just to conclude what I'm saying from here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Every excuse we have for not laying up treasure in heaven, the Bible calls it doubt. And that's what I'm trying to dispel of this morning. God has given everybody something with which to lay up treasure in heaven. From verse 10. Now, he said, but I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage. Who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now, finish doing it also, that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. Let me have that Bible. I want to read something from the Amplified Bible. When I was studying earlier, I thought I picked up something from there. Verse 12, Amplified Bible. It said, but if the eager readiness to give is there, then it is acceptable and welcomed in proportion to what a person has and not according to what he does not have. Now, what I want to bring out here is this. You know, most people, a lot of people, because I never did any statistical study, but I know a lot of people, they have this delusion that the reason why I can't give to people is because I don't have. And in fact, when the time will come, God go know now, say, I did. That when God breaks forth upon me with an abundance, listen, if you are thinking like that, just forget it. Because according to the principle of the kingdom, that abundance will never come. Listen, the reason is this. God tests you in how you handle the little that he has given you today. And let me tell you what. If there is no physical performance, alright, then God knows and is demonstrating to you by that there is no real willingness in the heart. That's why I'm reading this portion. Are you following the point I'm making? That what God judges really is the willingness of the heart. But it will manifest in proportion to what the person has. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, listen. I am not preaching so that I'm telling you that this is your key to breakthrough. But I'm telling you that God said this is your foundation for what? A sure future. This is your foundation because from next time, you see, after today, if you remember, let me just quickly go back over a few things. We laid a foundation talking about spiritual economics. And we said we are going to talk about money, many things. But the first few, today is the third one after that first day. We've been explaining that we have to understand that no matter what we say on the earth, no matter what we try to do, what powers our success on this earth is what? Treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? That is what you will experience on the earth will be based upon what you have laid up in heaven. Let me tell you what. God will always give you when you are in need, even if you don't have treasure in heaven. Let me just get that clear now. When you ask, you receive. If you are hungry, but then do you want to be in a position where every time you rush to God, when you are hungry, and then he sends food? Do you follow my point? God's perfect plan, let me tell you the truth, is always what? Abundance. Listen, you may talk, God, poverty is always, poverty is two things. One, it's either a curse or a test. It's never a place where God settles somebody in. Poverty is either what? A curse, that is a result of sin. People are being punished. That is, they have worked themselves into a place where they are perpetually in lack. That is one. Or it's just a transitory period in which God tests a man. Because you see, everybody will go through two tests in life. If you are going to walk with God, there's a test of adversity and there's a test of abundance. God will judge how you react when you don't have anything. And God will judge how you react when you have too much. Let me tell you the truth. In fact, there's something I wanted to read out. I think maybe I should just read it. It might interest us. Luke chapter 11. I have not fully understood it yet, but what I want to bring out is this. It appears to me that being very generous with money, it's something that helps you keep on track when it comes to financial integrity. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, there was a time somebody invited Jesus into a house to come and eat. Verse 37. Now, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. Then when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised. Now, Jesus just went in and just reclined at the table. Now, when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you are full of robbery and wickedness." He said, "You foolish ones, did not he who make the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity, and then all things are made clean for you." Now, notice something here. If you have another translation, you will see. Now, he was emphasizing the giving to charity. Now, here he was talking about material things. Now, let me just use this. Let me look at this word charity for a moment. God emphasizes, later on we might talk about that. Because of time, I may not say it much today. But let me tell you what, giving with God, it appears to me, after reading the scriptures, that to him, what to give to somebody in need, do you follow my point, carries more weight than what you give in quote to the work of God. Now, that's what I have deduced from the scriptures. I know sometimes we make it appear as if, I've heard people who preached it, that, like now, you see, what you give to a man of God or you give to the work of God, that is the one that is sowing. All the other one you give to those who are in need, it's just dash. It doesn't count before God. But it is not true. Please, listen. I am persuaded that the best, let me say, is it best or worst I should use now? But there's a scenario, which word should I use now? Is it the best or worst scenario? What should I say? Anyway, what I want to say is that, okay, let me say the worst that it will be is that they will be on the same level. Are you getting my point? Giving to the needy is not inferior before God. It's not inferior to giving to what we call the work of God. It's important because, you see, some of the countries that we have seen that God has preserved, despite the fact that they appear to have gone into apostasy, is because the amount of charity work they do. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? It's still very strong. And God will just look, he'll just overlook some of their iniquities for the meantime. Because out of the depth of their hearts, they are caring for the needy. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not going to continue on this issue of laying up treasure in heaven after today. But today I just felt like explaining to us that there is never excuse before God that I am not doing this because I don't have. Or I feel like what I have, it will not amount to anything in the place I want to do something with. Are you following the point I'm making? And I encourage all of us. Let me tell you what. In fact, that's something as a person, I indulge in also. You know, how do I say it now? I'm not trying to teach something strict here. You know, I just want to explain some things. A lot of times, especially in Pentecostal circles, we encourage plenty of impulsive giving. You know what I mean by impulsive giving?